Welcome to the Public Health is Essential podcast by the Washington State Public Health Association. This is Megan Moore.
And I'm Gloria Rogers.
And welcome to the third week of the Washington State legislative session. We are just on day 16 of this process, but I will tell you the vibe is that it feels like we're on day 200. This budget crisis is certainly playing out in full force. Bills are getting scheduled for hearings, but they're already being told that they won't make it past the cutoff or through the process if they're going to cost the state too much money.
Remind us again when cutoff is and what needs to happen by then.
Yeah, the first cutoff is called a policy committee cutoff, and it's February 21st. We got about three more weeks for bills to be heard by their subject matter committee. And if the bills don't move to the next step by this date, then they will likely die.
You say likely because there are a few reasons bills might be able to skip steps, right?
Yeah, honestly, anything can happen in the legislature. They can override rules, they can skip steps, they can really do whatever they want if they use a creative interpretation of the law. The main reason a bill might skip all of the processes is if it's called necessary to implement the budget, which means they want to deal with it at the end when they're finishing up the final touches to the budget.
Oh yeah, I remember that term from last year, NTIB.
Exactly. But let's forget about that right now. That is far off. We have at least 3 weeks for that to happen. We'll stay focused on the present. And right now, bills need our voices. They need your voices, our listeners' voices. We need you. There are a ton of really important bills and some bad bills that are still moving right now. Now is the time to sign up for verbal testimony, submit written testimony, and sign in to state your position on bills. Remember that these are lobbying activities, so you can't do these things using public funds or resources. If this applies to you, take a strategically planned lunch break, or maybe start the day just a little bit late if there happens to be an 8 a.m. hearing, and use your personal computer, your personal email. We do need experts to weigh in on things, which often means our friends who work under public funds, like public health workforce and all of the researchers in the state. We need you.
So that being said, what hearings should we be keeping track of this week?
Well, WSPHA will be testifying on several bills this week in the regulated substances topic. That means alcohol, cannabis, and tobacco. These industries have a lot of money, and they're often predatory. They specifically seek out certain groups and prey on their anxieties and their life situations. So it's really important that public health is there to ensure the industries don't expand via these predatory practices. Today, we want to highlight a few of those tobacco bills that are actually being heard Friday morning in the House Consumer Protection and Business Committee. We specifically want to talk about a bill that would ban all flavored nicotine products, including in vapor products, menthol cigarettes, and others.
Yes, today we have a very special guest joining us. Welcome, Representative Christine Reeves from the 30th Legislative District. We are so happy to have you here.
Hi, Gloria, Megan. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, we are so happy that you're here. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role in the legislature?
Sure. I am currently going into my sixth session as a state representative. I first got elected in 2016 when I was a mom of two young kids. My kids were 2 and 4 at the time, and the biggest issue facing the state was the full and fair funding of K-12 education. I am the product of public schools, and as a kid who grew up in and out of foster care, was homeless in my teens, public school educators have played a fundamental role in my life, and I believe that they save lives, mine included. So getting the opportunity to run for public office to fight for the fair and full funding of our K-12 system was really important to me. Since then, I've had the opportunity to bring my lived experience to the legislature around being an economic developer and fighting for consumer protections. I'm now the chair of the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee, fighting for sustainable agriculture and food security, making sure that our natural resources are economically and environmentally protected. And so I'm just super excited to have the opportunity to join you all today to talk a little bit more about public policy rooted in that lived experience and those values.
Thank you for sharing that. That's amazing.
So can you tell us a little bit about what this bill would do in lay terms?
Yeah, so 1203 is the bill number assigned to a bill that we are working on that proposes to end the sale of flavored tobacco products and tobacco products that have gaming devices attached to them in the state of Washington. There's a variety of ways in the bill that we talk about going through that process. And, you know, but ultimately what it's really about is making sure, first and foremost, that we are addressing the rise of youth use of nicotine products masked as in the form of strawberry flavors and bubblegum flavors and other things, and also again masked with this kind of electronic gaming component to it, which really there's no function for that unless you are targeting young people. I happen to identify as Afro-Latina. I'm a Black woman in America. My mom started smoking menthol cigarettes when she was 9 years old, died of lung cancer at 60. And we know that today, we know that a lot of that is predicated by tobacco companies targeting particularly Black and Brown communities, young folks, because how else do you perpetuate a product unless you're building the next generation of consumers? And what we want to really do with this legislation is put a halt to that targeting and make sure that young people are who are right now, we're seeing a drastic increase in the utilization of these products by young folks. We want to see that put to an end. And so that's what this bill proposes to do, is to end the sale of flavored tobacco in the state of Washington.
That's great. There is no reason why a vapor device needs a game on it, or music. I just saw that one played music on it.
Yep.
What the?
Yeah, there. Well, look, let's be really even more honest than that. There is really no public, you know, social, economic, environmental purpose for nicotine products in the state of Washington anyway. But ultimately, if those products are going to exist by public choice, then there is absolutely no reason, in my opinion, that they should have games on them. Because again, that to me is really a proponent of targeting young people or incentivizing people to stay on their smoke breaks longer, which also isn't a healthy practice. So,
right. So you just told us a little bit about what made you want to sponsor this bill. Do you want to add anything?
Well, as I said, I mean, for me, I spent the first 16 years of my life with a mother who had been smoking, you know, now I don't know. I wasn't alive when she was nine, but she used to tell us stories about how she started smoking when she was nine. And that led to her then sneaking alcohol and, you know, ending up in a much longer, lifelong battle with addictive behavior, right? She unfortunately fell prey to substance use disorder, which is how I landed in foster homes. When she relapsed into her substance use in my teens, that's how I ended up homeless. And for me, I think about the life that I grew up living and how challenging that was and how as a kid, I didn't have a choice in any of that. I think about the fact that I now have the ability to try to regulate a product in the state of Washington that could prevent other kids, other families from having to live through that trauma, right? Of the addictive behaviors, particularly, but ultimately losing my mom at 60, right? No family should have to go through that, knowing that this product isn't serving a public health benefit or any other real benefits to our community contributions. It's a great opportunity for me just to take that lived experience and hopefully prevent other people from feeling the insecurity that these products bring to our families and to our kids.
Thank you. What's the biggest barrier for this bill and how can our listeners help get it over that barrier?
Yeah, the biggest barrier for this bill isn't actually people's frustration with us trying to end the sale of flavored tobacco. It's going to be the fact that we are in a $12 to $14 billion budget deficit going into this budget writing season. So every 2 years, we write what's called a biennial budget or a 2-year budget. Under state law, we are required to balance that 2-year budget on what's called a 4-year outlook, meaning we have to balance it to what we think the next 4 years will look like. And over that next 4 years, we're projected to lose $12 billion in revenue. Because of that, bills like this that are proposing that we could potentially lose anywhere from, you know, $70 to $130 million in revenue from the state, meaning we have so many people smoking nicotine products that if we ended the sale of flavored tobacco, our fiscal analysts, the people who are thinking about the math on this, are saying we're going to lose anywhere from $70 to $130 million. That's a lot of money that gets used to pay for things, other things in the budget that we care about. So what I would encourage users to think, or what I would encourage your listeners to think about, excuse me, is I don't tend to propose tax proposals in Washington, but I have proposed two taxes in Washington to try to address the budget shortfall that passing this bill would cause. And so what we've proposed, first, the House Bill 1416 proposes to just incrementally increase taxes across all remaining nicotine products or tobacco products in the state of Washington. Then we've also introduced the first of its kind in the country, a bill, House Bill 1417, which would impose what's called an embodied carbon tax on cigarettes specifically. And the idea behind that legislation is to say, as we are thinking about addressing the impacts of climate change, while one cigarette may not create a bunch of air pollution, the collective impact of smoking, you know, a pack of cigarettes a day emits a high level of carbon. And so what we're proposing is to say, under the carbon emission standards, we would just add a tax to nicotine products, an embodied carbon tax, to say, we expect that when you smoke that pack of cigarettes, you're going to be releasing this much carbon into the universe. That impacts our climate change goals. That impacts our climate goals overall. We'd like to tax you to be able to do that. It is not by any means a tested tax. We can't find anywhere else in the country where this tax has been proposed. But as I like to tell my colleagues, that's what my constituents hired me for. They hired me to think outside the box and to be thinking about how we're connecting the dots between the actions and the behaviors that we're doing and the goals and outcomes that we're trying to get to. So those two pieces of legislation will be before the Finance Committee here in the next couple of weeks. And we're encouraging folks that if you would like to end the sale of flavored tobacco in the state of Washington, that you also support House Bill 1416 and House Bill 1417 to help make up the revenue cost for ending those sales.
So it really is a package deal for these bills. And we will make sure to put all of those bill numbers and also the link for the hearing on Friday.
That'd be great.
We'll put all of those things in the show notes so that people can just go on their podcast on their personal time and open it up.
Well, and to that point, Megan, if folks would like to, I know it seems intimidating to sign in support of a piece of legislation, but if you like the idea that we're working towards of ending the sale of flavored tobacco, we do have a hearing in Olympia on this bill. The cool thing is you can do it remotely by Zoom, or if you don't have the capacity to show up and participate in that hearing, but you want folks to know that you feel some kind of way about this bill, you can go to a link on the committee's website and you can it'll ask you to say sign in support of this bill. You click on that, you enter your name, your email, and where you're from, and you can say not wishing to testify. But then what it does is it creates a giant list basically that tells us, you know, 200 people signed in support of this bill. That's also a very effective way to let legislators and the committee know that people are paying attention to this bill and that they do want to see it get passed out of committee.
Yeah, totally. And I already looked at that list and it's 9 pages long of
love it.
Industry signing opposed. So
don't love health, that.
We need healthcare. We need just everyday citizens, students. Like, we need people to sign in. We need numbers on this for sure.
Well, so, Megan, you bring up a really good point, which is I can tell you I've been in the legislature 6 years. I've sat on the Regulated Substances Committee. This is the first year that I've seen kind of big tobacco hire lobbyists in the state of Washington post our big tobacco fight a couple years ago, Tobacco 21. So I think they thought that this fight was over. And so the fact that they're bringing on lobbyists to come back to the state of Washington for this fight tells me they're going to put a lot of time, energy, and resources behind killing this bill, because what they know is that the more they can target our kids, the more they can target Black and brown communities, the more likely they are to keep consumers into that next cycle of addiction behaviors. And we want to do everything we can to put an end to that.
That's great. Thank you so much for running this, for like spearheading this, because what an industry to go against, you know?
Well, as I tell folks, it's not the first time I've gone up against big companies or big corporations. It won't be the last time. But as a mom of two kids, my son just went into middle school. He just turned 12. He's now at a middle school in Federal Way. The fact that my son has to come home telling me how he's fighting just to go to the bathroom, you know, through a fog of smoke and vape, really is disturbing to me. And that's putting the onus on our kids who don't want to be put in these situations. More importantly, it's putting an onus on our educators to become, you know, kind of the police, if you will, of this product in public schools. When we're fighting for the full and fair funding of public education in a budget deficit, we can't afford to ask our educators to become in-school police officers relative to policing these products in the bathrooms and, you know, in the parking lots. We've got to make sure that they're focused on their job of educating our students, and ending the sale of flavored tobacco, I think, will go a long way to helping us do that.
Watch the hearing on TVW. We've already talked about how to watch the TVW hearings. It's going to be great. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and to Kiernan for hosting us. Thanks so much.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Bye, all.
Bye. I'm so glad that we have people like Representative Reeves in the legislature, like, being so vocal about these things for our kids.
Yes, she made a great point that I want to remind our listeners about. You can sign in for a hearing, but you do not have to testify, or you can submit written testimony if you'd like, if you're not a public speaker.
So for this bill, 1203, we want you to sign in pro. All right. Well, my gosh, what a fun episode. Okay. So everybody, we will see you next week, next Tuesday. Thank you so much for joining us for the Public Health is Essential podcast by the Washington State Public Health Association.
We'll see you next week.